This is the Healthcare Insider, broadcasting live from Las Vegas and direct from the HFMA National Institute's ANI 2014. This is big. This broadcast is brought to you by Javion, changing the way healthcare is delivered. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
This is Todd and Todd live from Las Vegas. Good morning and welcome to the Healthcare Insider's live coverage from ANI 2014. Before we get into it, Todd, a quick shout out to our sponsor, Javion. What a great partner.
They are a great partner. I mean, we both, I know, enjoyed working with them in Orlando at the HIMSS conference, and this is going to be no different here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I agree, and I love the work they do and how they're serving the market. Well, next up on the show, say hello to Charles Meadows. He's a Network Vice President, Revenue Cycle with Community Health Network. Charlie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us. Charlie, before we get into it, walk us through Community Health Network. What's it all about? How do you serve a market?
Yeah, Community Health Network is a 7-hospital system in central Indiana, kind of Indianapolis and surrounding counties. Do roughly about $5 billion in revenue. We employ close to 12,000 people. We're the largest home health provider in the state, one of the largest behavioral health providers. We're a fully integrated healthcare delivery system that provides all services from cardiac care, you name it. A really strong financial organization, growing organization that currently employs in excess of 800 physicians, multi-specialty type physicians too.
Charlie, I was going to ask you about revenue cycle challenges, but you probably don't have any.
Sure,
there is one or two after all.
Yeah. We face some challenges. I think not only we at Community Health Network, but really the industry to some extent. Some of our specific challenges within our own organization is we've had a pretty large affiliate growth recently. There's a lot of consolidation going on in the industry, both in the hospital market as well as the physician market. And with each one of those affiliates bring specific challenges related to revenue cycle, and many of our challenges, quite frankly, specific to community, reside really in the affiliate market, surrounding really a combination of both people, process, and technology, and sort of the lack of general investment that those organizations have made, primarily due to their financial difficulties over the years. So we face some pretty tough challenges there in all those areas.
Walk us through how you're tackling those things head on. I mean, what's being done about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think we made some fairly significant investments related to technology in terms of business intelligence and analytics, which I think, you know, is going to be critical to how we address it. It's getting access to the information and kind of making more data-driven decisions. So, and many of our challenges from an industry perspective, we're not immune to as it relates to healthcare reform, and, you know, the lower reimbursement and really kind of this whole new self-pay population that's out there that didn't exist before, where people that have been uninsured for a number of years are now becoming insured, and it adds a new dynamic.
Well, adding technology, certainly, I mean, that makes all kinds of sense to me, but you did mention, in addition to technology, people and process. Address those two things a little bit. You know, how are the people responding to what's probably a more rigid process, or at least it's perceived that way?
Yeah, I mean, that in of itself presents a challenge too. I mean, I think one of the things in revenue cycle historically, as I've told people philosophically, I think the old guard revenue cycle people operated with a fire hose. So they kind of just ran around from fire to fire with a hose and putting it out, and they managed it more based on instincts and their experience versus now all of a sudden you have the information in front of you. How are you going to drive the runnings of your operation and decisions? And quite frankly, even at the management level in revenue cycle, some people have never grown up with that, and it's requiring us to hire a different skill set, I guess, not only from a management level, but even people to say, I have the information, I have to know, it's analyzed even for me, and I need to drive my decision-making in that regard. So I think that's probably one of the big things that we've seen with people is, we have kind of hidden behind the fact we can't easily access information. Well, you can't hide behind that now. You have it. So now it's a matter of you have it. What are you going to do with it? So that's what I would say about
that. That's a great point. And I don't want to say that the industry is in a state of turmoil. I think it's exciting and good potential turmoil with all the changes going on in terms of healthcare reform and all that implies. And you mentioned all this technology. And if you walk around this hall, what's coming with technology and the impact that it's having, And then you throw in the government and the mandates and all that, all this stuff mixing up. It's an exciting time in the industry, but also a scary time. I mean, what do you see are the biggest opportunities right now, and what do you see as the biggest challenges with all this melting pot of all this stuff impacting the industry?
Yeah, Todd, it's interesting that you would say that, because I've made the comment so many times. You know, this is my 29th year at Community Health Network.
Wow.
So I've been there through very little technology to where we are today, and I've made comments to younger people as we're hiring them that this is without question the most exciting time in the history of the industry, but it's also the scariest time in the history of the industry. So I think, you know, the things that you do get excited about is you do now have an ability to take this information and actually drive financial performance of your health system in a way that you couldn't before. Because in revenue cycle in particular, and really in our industry, our ability to deliver the highest quality care at the lowest price point is going to dictate our future. I mean, without question. And to me, the best way to do that is good people and great technology. So,
Charlie, you haven't mentioned payers yet. Is that because the insurance companies never cause any issue? Or is it's a less source of frustration? Is it, I mean, just how's the relationship on that front going?
You know, it's, how would I say that? I guess after 29 years, I've been battling payers for a really long time, and it is an interesting time, and it's to some extent depends upon who the payer is. They're in many instances for years they have been more sophisticated than we have. You know, they have had the data, and we've kind of went into kind of a gunfight with one arm tied behind our back. And I think now the investments that we have made with technology, we go into our meetings with the key payers very well armed to say, hey, you know, here's how you're performing versus your competition. And so we still face challenges with denials and underpayments and things like that. And if you don't have that information to be able to share with them, you can't use anecdotal information. You have to have real data. And without the investment in data analytics, you don't have that. So, I mean, I think our investment allows us to go in and really negotiate on a favorable basis. And not only that, but it allows us to get information in more real time to really drive change, to say you're denying this inappropriately, we've seen this 100 times, you know. And I think in some regard, us having that information, while I think payer and hospital relationships will always be to some extent contentious just by their very nature, but if you go in there kind of on a level playing field, it does allow you to do some more things.
Todd, it's a fascinating commentary on the context of that relationship. We used to be in a situation where it was buyer beware, right? Because the seller knew all the information, and the buyer was going in blind. With the internet and the modern technology, now it's almost seller, you know, the seller beware, because the consumer knows so much more oftentimes than even the seller. It sounds like that exact thing you just described is what's happening in your industry, which is. Is that good? I mean, or is that bad? I have a feeling it's very, very good.
Well, I mean,
for you anyway.
I think it's good for us. I think the one thing that we face when you talk about the internet a little bit, and everybody's talking about pricing transparency and some of the information that's being put out there in the public spaces, is sort of how I would describe it's accurate information within the context that it is, but it doesn't present the whole broad picture. And I think our challenge as an industry, and it's why it's critical for us to invest, is we have a really great story to tell. We just haven't done a very good job telling it to the consumer. We need to say, hey, here are all the great things we're doing. You know, we at Community Health Network in particular, we are the lowest price point in our marketplace, but we've never really communicated that. Well, I think now more than ever with transparency, we got to communicate that, and we got to be able to demonstrate that.
Different sort of question, Charlie. I'm trying to put myself in your shoes, and one thing that as a business guy I always have wanted to do and like to do is to plan ahead. And I look into what's in the future for a guy like you, sitting in the chair that you sit in with the responsibilities you have. And I'm not so sure there's much of a crystal ball to look at. How do you handle that? How do you plan for the future and know not only how much investment you're going to need to make, but in what?
Well, I mean, I think when you look at what's going on in our industry and in our organization specifically, most of the technology investments as it relates to meaningful use and, you know, the electronic health records and stuff, kind of most people are in them, either have completed or that or on the other side of it. And I think what you're seeing now from a technology perspective that's going to be critical to our organization and the industry's success is really the investment in knowledge management and analytics. I mean, to really be able to dive deeply, both clinically and financially, on our patients, to be able to as I described to you, tell that story, but to make those decisions based on factual data versus supposition. And even when you think about what we think that's going to happen in the industry, I mean, a great example of what you just described that's very frustrating would be ICD-10. You know, we've invested tens of millions of dollars. Hundreds of millions of dollars, and then it gets delayed. So it's very, very frustrating because when we're investing those kinds of dollars, there are other very important projects that would have helped our patients that got put on hold because we had a mandate and then someone makes a decision. So, but I think as we face as an industry, you know, healthcare reform as it rolls out into 16 and 17, and if it really happens the way they want it, and when you move into this whole bundled payment world and accountable care organizations, the ability to have great data is just essential going forward.
Well, let's talk more about that. But if you're just joining us, this is the Healthcare Insider, and we're speaking with Charlie Meadows of Community Health Network. Because at the end of the day, Charlie, this is about the patient, right?
Right.
we can't forget that, and sometimes I worry that we as an industry do. At the end of the day, it's all for them. But go deep on predictive analytic solutions. I mean, it's so exciting because of what we can do to help the patient and be proactive as opposed to reactive.
Right, I agree with that. And you know, sometimes when you're in a revenue cycle or the finance side, if you're not careful, you can lose sight that, you know, we're producing cash and we're doing these things, but these are patients that we're treating. And I think predictive analytics cross the whole spectrum and are great from the patient from an outcome perspective to make sure that we're giving them the best least cost treatment solution to get them the best clinical outcome for their care. So, and I think in the end, you couple that clinical outcome, which is the most important thing. I mean, in our organization, we have pride values, and the number one pride value is putting our patient first. That is our focus. Our patient is the most important person that we deal with. So I think the more that we can invest to better understand our patients, to really ultimately, we need to get them well, not let them get sick. So our is to get further ahead of that curve, get out to them, get them the things they need in their home so that they don't have to come into the hospital. So I think that's where analytics can come into play there and working more closely surrounding telemedicine and those kinds of things. And then in the end, you know, we got to drive cost out of the system and provide great care at a low price point. That's the only way the industry is going to survive. So,
Charlie, a little earlier you talked about the need to communicate well with the patients. And I'm just listening to you talk about predictive analytics. And Todd will tell you, I'm a bit of a statistics geek, so I love that stuff. But I think I'm a freak. I think the typical patient probably doesn't want to know, doesn't care, doesn't really understand that there might be value in it. How do you get a patient, the typical patient that is, to understand the power and the value of all these analytics?
Well, I think, you know, again, I'm a financial guy. On the clinical side, and I've always said this, it's really difficult to legislate behavior. You know, so the reality of it is we can give them good information. We can tell them what they need to do. We can do everything we can to help them do a better job of taking care of chronic conditions and doing those kinds of things. But I do think the more data that we have, and we can be transparent to a patient, and I mean with our portal strategy and with some of the investments we've made in our HIS system that allows the patient to get results real time, to see their bills real time. You know, the patients now more than ever are interested because I don't know about you guys, but my health insurance deductibles and coinsurance are going up every year substantially. So the more that we can deliver to them, really what they're concerned about is, what do I owe? They're not necessarily concerned about what the insurance company pays. So the more that we can deliver to them, this is what you owe, this is why you owe it, and get that to them real time and utilize that analytics to surround that, surrounding the care and everything else. If you can wrap that up, I mean, I think that's our challenge as an industry, to help people understand it's in your best interest clinically, but it's also in your best interest financially, and that's the best possossible scenario.
All right, ANI 2014, so far, what are some observations? What do you think your key learnings will be? What are you seeing here?
Yeah, I mean, just getting out, and you know, it's always nice to come out and kind of see the various, I'm always looking for the next new thing, the next big thing. So, you know, coming to a conference like this is that. There's some good educational sessions going on out here that I've been able to take part in a little bit, and hopefully after I get through this and spend some more time doing that. But and also do some networking and make some good connections out here with all the various both partners that we have currently as well as prospective partners. So kind of all those things.
ANI 2016. What do you think we're going to be talking about? What problem will we have solved, or what new technology do you see on the horizon?
Well, the number one thing I hope we're going to be talking about is a successful rollout of ICD-10. That it's going very well and that it's implemented, so that
that would be the
one thing that we would have. And I honestly think many of the things that we're talking about today, we will be talking about in 2016. I mean, as healthcare reform continues to roll out, there's always some unintended consequences, and we'll probably be hearing of some things that we didn't anticipate and be talking about that. But this focus on analytics, transparency, communicating more real time with our patients, I think you'll be talking about that when I'm retired.
Charlie, it's no surprise to you that ICD-10 is a very common subject on this show, and we've had a lot of conversations about that. I didn't want to open up this Pandora's box on this episode,
but you're going
to
do it anyway.
I have to ask, because I'm curious about Charlie's opinion, Todd, is what happens if, because right now we're assuming it's going to be October 2015, but what happens if the government moves it again? Does the industry rebel and say, to heck with it, and just move on, do their thing? I mean, how do you think the industry is going to handle that?
You know, there's a couple ways to look at that, after my initial reaction, which was frustration, I did feel like, hey, you know, it gives us an opportunity. Our industry doesn't necessarily do physician documentation well in its current state in ICD-9. So this gives us kind of a path to really focus on documenting in a more specific way that's really better even in the ICD-9 world. So I think in the end, the better that we get with documentation, the better that we get, that helps with the treatment of the patient. So in the end, some of the work that we're going to do and the investments that we have made will still benefit us regardless. I will say, if it gets pushed back too much longer, I think that healthcare systems in particular are going to be very rebellious, very, very angry about this, because the rest of the world has been doing this for a really, really long time. And the hard part about this is that the physician community, if you're a physician that's, you know, you're out there kind of in your own practices, they're trying to understand, to them, this is just viewed as, well, this is just financial. This doesn't help with the care of our patients. I would argue, and I'm not a physician, and I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. However, I would say that documenting at the highest level of specificity is important no matter what. And that's why I think ICD-10 is a good thing.
I happen to believe that it dramatically helps the patient. And we've talked about all this data collection, so I'm with you on that. All right. Well, Charlie, I hate to say it, but we are running low on time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you and learn more about Community Health Network?
Well, I can be reached at cmeadows@ecommunity.com from an email perspective. That's probably the best way. I'm on LinkedIn, so I can be found out there also. And I'm more than happy to talk with people. I have the opportunity and the pleasure of talking to people all over the country all the time. So it's
all right. Charles B. Meadows, the Network Vice President, Revenue Cycle with Community Health Network. Great to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us. All right. Well, that wraps this broadcast. On behalf of all of us at the Healthcare Insider, a quick thanks again to our sponsor, Javion. This is Todd and Todd, the Healthcare Insider's live coverage from ANI 2014. We'll be right back.